Hebrews 13:5b. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5b. Psalm 8:3 and 4. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, what is man that thou dost care for him? Psalm 8:3 and 4. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8. The Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31, 8. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon God's eternal Word. What a privilege it is for us to give attention to this magnificent book, the inspired Word of God. Many years ago, I had the privilege of going to Texas A&M, which is University of Corpus, and then after leaving there, Joyce and I went to the Fort Worth area where I spent the next 5 years in training at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. They send me information and I just received one of their booklets. And the emphasis of the booklet from Southwestern Seminary now is text presentation of the scripture or expository preaching. I thought it was quite interesting that that is the emphasis now. Preach the word. Text, emphasis, or expository preaching. That's what we've tried to do through the years, to teach God's word verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. We're more interested in what God says than what anyone would say about what God says. Did you hear me? We're more interested in what God says than we are interested in what people say about what God says. May we pray together, please. Father, we are rejoicing today in the fact that we have the privilege of communicating these magnificent truths. You've left us here on the earth for the purpose of presenting this message, and we're thankful for it. We're thankful that we have the completed canon of Scripture, the inspired Word of God. We're being able to see so many things as we find our way from page to page through this magnificent book. We're aware of the fact that as we look at Jeremiah, the prophet, we discover that he was a man who was desirous to present the message. And he had a broken heart. Over and over again we see that there were people who would not listen. They would not pay attention. And yet we see him as a faithful disseminator of God's word. We're thankful indeed today for the privilege which we have of taking this wonderful book, God's word, and proclaiming these magnificent truths. May we listen attentively and carefully today. May we be able to take what is here and make application of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll look, please, at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Here's what you will find. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Please notice how powerful this is. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The question is asked, what do you see, Jeremiah? He said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. for I am watching over my word to perform it. God is watching over His word to perform it. Now, if you will, please go to the 9th chapter of Jeremiah. Last Wednesday night, we gave information on the weeping prophet. I want to remind you again what we find in this 9th chapter. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Chapter 9, verse 2. Oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go from them. For all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. I could not help but remind myself that here we see Jeremiah weeping. And the question came to me, well, did Jesus ever weep? Did Jesus ever cry? And so I've inserted, before we even begin our message today, some verses of Scripture. It is only natural that when we think of the subject of weeping, we think of Jesus. And we want to know if He wept, the meaning of weeping, and the circumstances of His weeping. Most of you are aware of the fact that the Bible presents the emphasis on Jesus weeping. There are three references to Jesus weeping. One of those is Luke 19:41. Another one of those is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. And then in John chapter 11, verse 35. There are three references to Jesus weeping. He wept over a city in Luke 19:41. He wept at Gethsemane, a cry of pain, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus, which was a soft, tender, compassionate crying, in John chapter 11, 35. I would encourage you, please, to write these verses down. Luke 19:41. He wept over a city. And if you'll check that out, you will discover that the type of crying that he did at that occasion was a sob. He wept over a city, a sob. And the Greek word is kleio, K-L-A-I-O. And the emphasis there is that it is an aorist active indicative, which simply means at a point of time, Jesus Christ himself did the weeping, and we see the reality of that weeping. Luke 19:41, he wept over a city. It was a sob. In Hebrews 5:7, he wept at Gethsemane. At that time is an emphasis upon a cry of pain. In John chapter 11, verse 35, he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And when you study that word, you will see that it is the Greek word dakruo, D-A-K-R-U-O, which simply means a soft, tender, compassionate crying. I want you to be able to see how Jesus cried, how he wept in so many different ways. At one time, there was a sob in Luke 19:41. In Hebrews 5:7, there's the cry of pain. And then in John 11:35, he wept a tender, soft, compassionate type of crying. Let me quickly tell you that when you look at the etymology, the meaning of these words, you will find that in Luke 19:41, the Greek word is K-L-A-U-T-H-M-O-S, weeping or crying. In John 11:35, the Greek word is dakron, D-A-K-R-U-O-N, which is emphasizing tender tears. The Greek word dakru, D-A-K-R-U, is the word which means tear. So we have in Luke 19:41, a weeping or crying. In John 11:35, we have an emphasis upon tears. Hebrews 5:7, two Greek words were used there. One of those is K-R-A-U-G-E for grief. And then there's also the word for a loud cry. This is very interesting to me, to see the different ways that Jesus cried. Jesus wept in many different ways. So there's the weeping that is weeping and crying out loud. There is an emphasis upon the tears falling. There's an emphasis upon grief in the heart and life of our Savior. Let me quickly go on through this, because this is not my sermon for the day, but I felt like it was important for you to be able to see that Jeremiah wept, Jesus wept. We have the weeping of unbelief in Numbers 14:1. In that passage of Scripture, we have saved people weeping because of unbelief. You might want to write Numbers 14:1, weeping of unbelief. There's a weeping of grief in John chapter 11, verse 33, a weeping of grief. Number five, there's a weeping of regret in 2 Samuel 18:33 and 19:1 through 4. Most of you may be familiar with the fact that David wept for Absalom, his son. He tried to make him earn forgiveness. Read that passage in 2 Samuel 18:33, and read that passage in 2 Samuel 19:1 through 4, a weeping of regret. There's a weeping of testing in Psalm 30, verse 5. It says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Weeping of testing in Psalm 30, verse 5. Then there's a weeping of judgment in Matthew 8, 12. Most of us are familiar with the fact that the Bible teaches that if a person leaves this life without Christ, they're going to a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8, 12. Number eight, Jeremiah wept. That was what we presented for you last Wednesday night in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. And then this is a very important point. There will be a time when weeping will cease. And I've used this many times as I've been standing out at a funeral. Jesus said, "There'll be no more crying, no more weeping, for the former things have passed away." If you'll look that up, you'll find it in Revelation 21:4. And then when you go over to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19, there's an emphasis upon the fact that there's coming a time when there'll be no more weeping. Now that's sermon number one. Now it's time for sermon number two. I'm always amazed at the fact that I find information as I study that I feel like need to be inserted. And so I have that privilege. And I appreciate that privilege. Jeremiah chapter 1, I just read for you, verses 11 and 12. God is watching. I don't know what this would do to you if you really seriously think about it. God is watching. The question that I have is, as I look at my own life, what do I see? As you look at your own life, what do you see? Do you see what God is seeing? Please be reminded of the fact that God is watching. That's what we have here. Please notice again, chapter 1. Let's look at it. What do we have in verses 11 and 12? "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' And Jeremiah said, 'I see a rod of an almond tree.' Then the Lord said to me, 'You've seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it.'" I cannot get this over well enough. I'm trying. God is watching over me, yes. God is watching over my word to perform it. I've been told that it is amazing to see beautiful almond trees blossoming all over Israel every winter. They're the first tree to blossom and yet the last to bear fruit. The almond tree is associated with one of the earliest prophecies of this young man, Jeremiah. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Jeremiah, What do you see? Now, this is the third or fourth time I've read this. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you're doing great. You've seen well. Then he added, I'm watching to perform my word. For I am watching to perform my word. This prophecy uses a play on words that carries a vital truth for Israel as well as for us today. The Hebrew word for almond, sheket, is also translated to watch. By seeing the almond branch, God assured Jeremiah that he is watching over his word to bring it to pass, no matter the passage of time. I pause for a moment of silence to let you see that the Hebrew word for almond, sheket, is translated to watch. By seeing the almond branch, God assured Jeremiah that he's watching over his word to bring it to pass, no matter the passage of time. In the context, God had just given Israel a warning. I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. That's found in Jeremiah 1, 9, and 10. Then after Jeremiah sees this almond tree, God shows him a boiling pot over Jerusalem, which portends a calamity in Jeremiah 1, 13, and 14. If you're noticing, I'm going down the verses right down the line. While the almond is a sign of hope that God will eventually fulfill his wonderful promises to Israel or to us, the context is frightening. Later, God repeated the warning through Jeremiah when he said, behold, I will watch, shake it, over them for evil and not for good, which is found in Jeremiah 44, 27. Let me tell you, in preparation for a message like this, I make my way down the way looking at these various verses, and then I'm shocked by what I'm saying. And I feel like I ought to try to shock you. God's message to Israel, number one, was that sin has its consequences, and there will come a time of reckoning. I would like for you to see what hit me right between the eyes. God's message to Israel was that sin has consequences, and there will come a time of reckoning, namely the destruction of Jerusalem and the captivity of Israel. But for us, we must see that sin will bring results. Years later, Daniel would pray, therefore has the Lord watched, checked upon the evil, and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he does, for we obeyed not his voice. Well, I want you to be able to see, and that's found in Daniel 9:14. I want you to be able to see that the Lord is saying, sin will always bring about consequences. The lesson of the almond tree, therefore, is that, number two, God is in heaven, watching a sinful nation, walking away from him, and declares it will have consequences. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? God is in heaven, watching a sinful nation, walking away from him, and declares it will have consequences. And you're saying, are you talking about us now? I'm talking about what the scripture said about that time. But let me also make application of our time. Number three, his message to humanity today is still the same. God is watching. He will watch over His word either for curse or for blessing. God is watching over His word. And we will either receive His word or we will not receive His word. And you'll notice what I'm saying here. God is watching. He will watch over His word either for curse or for blessing. When sin and immorality engulf nations and even penetrate the church, we must remember God is watching. When nations assail Israel and seek to divide her land, we can be sure God is watching. Number four, the message of this omen does carry a strong encouragement. Jeremiah also sees or foresees a miraculous restoration for Israel. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. Jeremiah 31:28. Number five, if we decide to consecrate our lives to God, then He has made a promise that He will watch over us for good. Even with our frailties, even with our weaknesses, His eyes are always upon us. If you can leave this service today with the awareness that God watches over each one of us, then we've been able to accomplish the goal. God is concerned about each individual, and God watches over us to perform His word. I have so much fun in preparing messages. I just think about you folks while I'm doing it. I see your faces, and I'm always amazed at your faces. You don't realize it, but I do see your faces. And I'm able sometimes to read things that I really don't want to tell in the faces that I see. But I'm reading constantly your faces. And there are times when I see that you're saying to me, in essence, would you repeat that, please? Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And when I don't, I also see your faces. So at this point, I made my way through point one, point two, point three, point four. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I'm afraid they didn't get it all. So let's have a summary of the verses 11 through 19 of chapter 1. God gave Jeremiah a view of the destruction of Judah and Jerusalem by the Chaldeans. The almond tree, which is more forward in the spring than any other, represented the speedy approach of judgments. God also showed where the intended ruin should arise. That's the reason why we now see a seething pot boiling, representing Jerusalem and Judah in great commotion. The mouth or face of the furnace or hearth was toward the north, from where the fire and the fuel were to come. The northern powers shall unite. The cause of these judgments was the sin of Judah. The whole counsel of God must be declared now. The fear of God is the best remedy against the fear of man. Please notice, the fear or respect of God is the best remedy against the fear of man. Oh, do we need this thought today? Most of you are aware of the fact that we're facing all kinds of difficulties. The fear or respect for God is the best remedy against the fear of man. Better to have all men our enemies than God our enemy. Those who are sure they have God with them need not, ought not to fear whoever is against them or against us. We must pray that we may be willing to give up personal interest and that nothing may move us from our responsibility and our duty to God. Number 7, repetition is necessary. When I looked at verse 12, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "You've seen well. I'm watching over my word. I'm watching over my word. I'm watching over you, yes, but I'm watching over my word. I need to get this over. The most important thing in your life as a believer is for you to have the mind, the thinking of Jesus Christ. That means you have to have the word. Don't be indifferent. Don't be careless when it comes to the being a recipient of the word of God. Repetition is necessary. You've seen well, Jeremiah. I'm watching over my word to perform it." It's time for us to see with eyes of faith. The lost of this world need seers, true visionaries, who see what God is saying and who make it known without giving opinions, just state the facts. Are you aware of the fact that we're living in a day when people are always giving their opinions? That is what editorializing is, people stating their ideas and concepts and opinions. It's always amazing to me when I'm listening to the news and I discover that people are saying what they think was said at a time when someone was speaking. They take their own opinions and push them down on what they think was being said. Now, I don't want to get into that because I'll get on a soapbox and do the wrong thing. As we look back over these verses, we see God confirming His call to Jeremiah with two visions. The first one was the almond tree, which blossoms when other trees are still dormant. The almond tree served as a herald or an omen or a sign or harbinger of spring, revealing, notice, that God was watching to see that His word would be fulfilled. God is watching from the beginning of the season. Beautiful. We see here a play on Hebrew words. God is watching. It is the awake tree. The almond tree is the awake tree. And when I got to this point, I just couldn't help but put it down here. The first one to say, "Good morning, sunshine. I beat all the others up. Wow." Now, y'all didn't get the blessing there that I got. This is the almond tree that wakes up early while the other almond trees are still asleep. I'm going to spell this out so anyone can understand what I'm saying. God is watching from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. Beautiful. We see here a play on Hebrew words. God is watching. Awake tree. The first one to say, "Good morning, sunshine. I beat all the others up." God is very much awake. This almond tree represented God who was watching to see that His word would be wakeful and vigilant. The first branch, the first shoot, was God's way of saying to Jeremiah, "I want you to know that I'm awake and I'm watching and I keep my promises. What I say to you is true. You can depend upon me." The Hebrew noun for almond tree is watching, which means alert, up, active. God is saying, "I'm watching over to see my word come to pass certainly and speedily." Boy, did I have fun. When I came to that word speedily, I misspelled it. And I thought, you know what? That doesn't look like a word. And I put down, not sure that that's a word. And then I thought, you know what? Speedily has to be a word. So I looked it up. And the reason why it didn't look right was because I had misspelled it. You folks are not getting as much fun out of this as I did. I found out the word is not spelled S-P-E-E-D-I-D-L-Y. It's spelled S-P-E-E-D-I-L-Y. Now you all need to know that. God is saying, I'm watching over to see my word come to pass certainly and rapidly. If you're beginning to feel and sense this, I hope you are, that you're understanding that God is watching. And He's watching over His Word in your life and mine to perform His plan for you and for me. Note here, one, God never forgets a promise. You know what I've discovered about us? We make them and we break them. He doesn't. I'm not even sure I've written that correctly. But I don't care, because I'm getting over a message. We make promises and we break promises. Have you ever told someone you're going to be at a certain place at a certain time and you didn't arrive at the proper time? If you don't get there and something happens, call them if you're late. Don't let them get there and wait on you and not wonder and not know where you are, what's happening. Okay, I could get into that. One of my little pet peeves. And then when I talk about that, I find myself doing the very same thing. Note here, God never forgets a promise. We make them, we break them, but He doesn't. Notice number two. God has never forgotten a single person to whom a promise belonged. Did you notice what I'm saying? God has never forgotten a single person to whom a promise belonged. He's gracious. Number three, God has never allowed to slip a promise at the proper time, a time designed by Him to be fulfilled. Please follow those words. God has never allowed to slip a promise at the proper time, a time designed by Him to be fulfilled. When the promise comes due, He fulfills it to the tick of the clock. There are no dishonored bills recorded against God in the archives of angels and men. Please notice what is being said. If God says He's going to do something, He's going to do it. Put it down. The tick of the clock, He does it. There is no dishonored bills recorded against God in the archives of angels and men. I find that in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Number four, He's the promiser who always performs what He's promised. This almond tree in Palestine was named a wake tree because it is the first tree of the year to bud. In fact, its blooms precede its leaves as the tree burst into blossom in late January. Now get excited, because anytime you look at these pages and you see capital letters, it means that I'm just about ready to stand up. Get away from that typewriter for a little bit, or stand there and put the letters in large capital letters and just keep on going. Sometimes we think that God is slow. No, God is not slow. The problem is that we are slow to believe and submit to Him or to the conditions of His promises. If you don't do anything else, please remember what is being said now. Sometimes we prayed for someone to be well. We prayed for certain things to happen, and they didn't happen. And we say, God, we don't say this, we think it. You're so slow. You just are so slow. Are you aware that I'm here? I mean, listen, don't you know that I'm here? You're so slow. Now, we don't really ugly say that, but we're thinking it. No, God is not slow. We're slow. We're slow to believe and submit to Him or to the conditions of His promises. God is far more eager to change us than we are eager to change. We cause the delay of peace by resisting the Prince of Peace. We cause a delay of peace by resisting the Prince of Peace. You folks remember the prodigal? He ran off with the blessings and wasted them, all in compromise and sin. His peace did not delay because of his father. It took him time to figure out he had enough with his sin. And when he started back, while still a way off, the father, as you remember, came running to him. And when I got to this point, my thoughts were very wild. How fast do you think God can run? How fast do you think that God can run? Wavering between two opinions? This guy, prodigal, is actually closer than the prodigal's father. Ready to do what he promised to do. Forgive, cleanse, make you whole, right, and rightly related to Him. Isn't it amazing how much God loves us and how much He cares for us? And He's awake and watching. He wants us to be awake. Isaiah 65:24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Now that's an unusual verse and many people read and don't even pay any attention to it. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Quicker than internet or instant messaging, I'm having more fun and more frustration with my new phone. Quicker than internet. I'm constantly, continually handing it over to my companion. Would you find out what's going on here? What do you see in the eyes of our spirit? We see an almond tree. No. What do we see? We see Jesus at the gate, ready to begin the fulfillment of every promise He's ever made to us. What do we see? What are we seeing? We're seeing Jesus at the gate, ready to begin the fulfillment of every promise He's ever made to you and me. Well, He made a promise to unsaved individuals. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Does He keep that promise? Certainly. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Does He keep that promise? Yes. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Is He the way? Yes, He's the way. It's faith alone in Christ alone. He keeps His promise. What He's saying to us is, awake. Be alert. Be aware of the fact that I'm watching over you to perform my word in your life. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful today for the challenge of your wonderful word. There's so much for us to learn. We're to be awake. We're to be enthusiastic and ready to receive what you have for us and ready then to obey and find our way down the highway of grace happiness. For the people who hear the voice today who never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, may they understand that salvation is a gift from God, and they can have that gift right now if they only accept it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, you shall be saved. We're thankful indeed for all of your grace blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.